Hello, I'm Rick Lancaster. Thank you for tuning in. Grab your Bible as we study through God's Word together. It's my hope that as we go through these messages, that we will all grow in our understanding of God's Word. As we grow in our understanding, we'll also be better equipped to glorify God, bless others, and grow faith, ours and others. If you have any questions about anything in this teaching, send me a message. I would love to connect with you. With that said, let's get into the Word and see what the Spirit would say to us today.
Welcome to the Future Today Prophecy Meeting. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 4. The purpose of this series is to look at what God said in the past about the future so that we can understand what is going on today. Catch that? What God said in the past about the future for today. That's why future today. Get it? Anybody keeping up with me? Somebody nod? Yeah, okay, got it. Move on. All right. In Genesis chapter 3, Eve had an unfortunate conversation. Unfortunate is a very probably weak word for it. Conversation with the serpent. And it went like this. In Genesis 3, 1 through 5, he says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" The serpent, also known as Satan and the devil, convinced Eve that it would be a good idea if she knew how to determine, if she could determine what was good versus evil, that she could decide that for herself. We know the result. The result was that sin entered into the world, and with it came death. Now you fast forward about 4,000 years, and Jesus is sent by God to make a way for us to be redeemed from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin, and eventually from the presence of sin. And we're going to remember that event next Friday. We refer to it as the crucifixion, as the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Jesus came to save us by dying on the cross as a payment for our sin. And we need to make that personal. That when we're recognizing, remember Good Friday, it's remembering what was done for us individually. Now he did it for the whole world, but we need to make it personal, because if we don't, then we lessen its importance and its impact upon us. So it's a big deal. Satan didn't stop his efforts to corrupt the world. He kept going. It was, you know, he did a pretty good job there in the garden, but he's kept at it. Still busy today. And Paul warned the church of something it needs to be careful of today. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says this, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." That's a warning to the church to watch out, that there are people that will come in the guise of ministers of the gospel who are bringing a different gospel, something that's not true. And we can kind of go back to, why are they doing that? Well, Satan is a liar. He's always been a liar. He always will be a liar. And his primary weapon against people is deception. He deceives people into believing something that is not true is true. We see that all around us today. I'm sure Randy is going to be touching on some of those things. Not only is he a liar, he's also an imposter. In 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. There are people who are representing, if you will, quote unquote, Christ, who are false apostles. They're false in their message. They're false in what they're saying, though they are coming off, they're presenting themselves in such a way that people can be deceived into believing they're coming from God, that they are actually preaching truth or preaching a gospel that theoretically should save them, but we know it won't. Satan and those he's influencing will come in this guise, this disguise, that will cause people to believe something that's not true. And we probably don't have to look very far in our culture to see that all around us. John also warned us, the Apostle John, in 1 John 2:18, "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now, in John's time, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour." Now, we need to just make a distinction here. The Antichrist is a man who will be raised up in the tribulation period, a single person that we'll refer to as the Antichrist. But there are Antichrists in the world even today. And they are, they're a little bit more widespread than we would like. This particular one will come, and at some point he'll actually stand up and say, "I am the Savior. I am the Messiah. I am to be worshipped as God, equal to God." But we won't see that person. We will be dancing on streets that are golden, and you know, at the marriage supper of the Lamb and all that good stuff. Somebody say hallelujah. But just because he doesn't show up until the tribulation, we can't let our guard down, because antichrists are in the world today. There are deceivers. There are false prophets. There are these with the spirit of Antichrist in the world today, and they are their goal is to deceive, if possible, even the elect. That would be us. And so we need to be careful of that. We need to watch out for that there are deceivers out there. And John tells us what to watch out for, how to watch out for them. In 1 John chapter 4, which is not in that section of your Bible, and starting in verse 1, he says this: "Beloved, do not believe every spirit." John is saying is, just because somebody comes and says, "Hey, I've got a word for you from the Lord. I've got a word from you. I'm speaking on behalf of God. I'm speaking on behalf of, you know, the Spirit is leading me to tell you X, Y, or Z." He's saying, do not believe every spirit. Don't believe everything somebody says to you. Don't believe everything that you hear on Facebook. God, don't believe everything you hear on Facebook. "But test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many, many, many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you now have heard was coming, and now is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you," that would be the Holy Spirit, "is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us, and he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." He's saying we have to be very discerning. We have to be able to look at what's going on, hear the things that we're hearing, and be able to discern whether it's from God or from somewhere else. And, you know, the somewhere else is the spirit of Antichrist And we've got to discern the two, because even God's people can be deceived. And when, if a child of God is deceived away from the truth, and they end up not experiencing, as we talked about in the message today, the benefits of their relationship with Christ. They become useless in the kingdom of God, or less useful in the kingdom of God. They're never useless. And so we got to be careful that we know what's going on. The spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of error. And so if you see error around you, you know where it's coming from. It's not coming from God. God is what? True and truth. Hey, Tony. Is not God always true? Somebody say yes, like you believe it. Come on, church. Yes, God is true. He is truth. The word of God is always true. The word Antichrist is a person who sets himself up in the place of Christ, especially implying usurping of Christ and his position. Now you're not gonna see somebody actually stand up and claim to be Christ. Well, no, that's not true. It actually does happen. Gosh, I have read enough accounts of this where people literally they will stand up and claim to be Christ. And then they will gather a following of thousands after them. And they often get led to ruin and destruction. It's remarkable to me. We have to be careful. We have to know God's word. We have to be yielded to the Holy Spirit so much so that we're not deceived. And we understand, this is more than just some person standing up and claiming to be Christ, claiming to be the Savior. Jesus said in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's lots of ways that we can discern the error from the truth. And one is knowing this, but we're surrounded by people who are showing us that they're proving that if we would test the spirits, that they are in error. And we need to recognize that. Jesus said, he is the way. So anyone who claims that there is a different way to be saved than of repenting of sin and receiving Christ as their Savior is an Antichrist, is of the spirit of Antichrist, is the error of Antichrist. And there are churches that are claiming that there's some other way. There's something. If you just do this, if you just get woke enough, you'll get saved. Okay, no. What you need is Jesus. You need to repent of your sins and receive Jesus. So anyone, we have to extend this beyond the church. Anyone who encourages people to live contrary to the way that God called us to live is an Antichrist. They are speaking the error of the Antichrist. And there's the school teachers who want to teach perverse sexual ideologies to children. That is of the spirit of Antichrist. And the church needs to stand up and resist that, because it is evil at the highest level. I heard recently that there are a number of teachers down in Florida who object to the law that they passed down there. And so they said, we can't teach here. We're going to leave. You know what I say to that? Good. You don't belong in a classroom. Get out. Probably going to get me in trouble. It's wrong. It's evil. It is right from the pit of hell, and it should be resisted. Jesus is the truth, it says. So anyone who denies the truth and encourages others to deny the truth is being influenced by the spirit of the Antichrist. When we saw it just recently, a few weeks ago now, that man who took away the gold medal from the women at that women's swimming event, and then the world cheered him on. That is the spirit of Antichrist. It is error. Jesus is the life. Anyone who rejects God's view of life has the spirit of Antichrist. I don't know if you guys saw this. It wasn't really widely promoted. But California just recently passed a law that made it much easier for you to murder your babies in their wombs. Now you can do it for free now. No difficulty to do that. That is horrible. And we recently heard in the news something even more horrible that I don't know if you're going to get to that thing. Anyways, people are doing horrible things. And it is the spirit of error. It is the spirit of Antichrist. And we as the church, we as believers, we need to know the truth so well. We need to stand upon the truth. We need to be beacons of light and truth and hope and showing people the way, even if they don't want to see it. They need to see it in us that there is truth, there is hope, there is a way that is right. We're not looking for the Antichrist. We're not going to see him. He's not going to show up until after we're gone. But the spirit of Antichrist, he's all around us. And we need to be open. We have our eyes open. We have to be watching for it. And when possible, we need to stand against it and not allow it to continue. John said we should test the spirits. When you see these things going on, we may not always have the answers on how to respond to it. We may not know how to act, how to react to these things. We may not know, what the answer is to any of it. Well, we actually do. There is one answer. Jesus is the answer to everything. But we may not know how to actually do what needs to happen, which is why we need each other, because together we can figure that out if we will just spend that time together. But we need to make sure. We need to test the spirits. When you hear something, especially that we need to understand, is that these that are promoting error are sometimes incredibly eloquent. They can speak in such a way, you hear them and say, wow, you said that so well. It might be true. Well, but it might not be. And we have to be so careful. Just because the devil picks somebody really eloquent to speak his lie out doesn't change the fact that it's a lie. And we need to watch out for it. We need to test the spirit. We need to make sure that what they're saying is lines up directly with what God has already said. He told us what to know, what to believe, and we need to compare it. We need to take it to the Word of God. We need to take it to God directly in prayer. We need to take it to the church. We need to be connected so that we know. Because as we approach the coming of Christ, that spirit is going to become more pervasive. And we're going to see it more and more. And we need to be able to tell. Amen? Pastor Randy, you're up.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from God's Word. It's one of my core beliefs that the Bible or Word of God has the power to transform our lives. It's my hope that these messages will help you to do just that and to glorify God and bless others and grow faith. If there's anything that we can do to help you with that, don't hesitate to connect with me. You'll find ways to do that in the show notes. In the show notes, you'll also find links to my sermon notes and other resources to help you in your study of God's Word. And sometimes we do need help to grow in our faith. If there's anything that I can do, don't hesitate to connect with me. I love talking to God's people about God and His Word. So send me your questions, and I'll do my best to answer them. This message was shared at Calvary Chapel French Valley in Murrieta, California. If you'd like more information about the church, go to calvaryfv.com. The link is in the show notes. Until next time, stay in the Word and have a radical week with Jesus.